Amen. It's coming. Praise God. Okay. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Amazing Grace. Good to see you guys all here tonight. Oh, morning. That's right. I'm sorry. Hey, to judge or not to judge? That is the question, all right? All right? That's the question and the name of the sermon today, okay? We forgot a judge up here, but that's okay. We know the judge is right up there. Amen? All right? Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, for this church, and for every blessing, Father God, that you've bestowed upon us, for beautiful weather that we have here in Arizona, and just for every provision that you give us, Lord, today. We ask that you protect our country, Father God, watch over our soldiers and all of our first responders, including our own doorkeepers security team, as there's high threats today, Lord, as you know. Father, we trust in your protection and your will, Lord, so we give you all the glory this morning. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive this message today in love and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Remember that last part of the prayer, okay? All right? To judge or not to judge. Okay, first picture. Anybody know what this is a picture of right here? Woodstock. That's right, Woodstock. All right. You win the prize. Okay. In recent years, and especially since the 1960s, which is before my time, by the way, just so you know, the democratic societies of the West have been enlarging the boundaries of acceptable behavior. In effect, they've been redefining sin. And the sexual revolution of the 60s, it dismantled barriers against premarital sex and encouraged open marriages. And not just rock stars, but Harvard professors such as Timothy Leary advocated the use of drugs, LSD and other hallucinogenic drugs. There was a single decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in the early 70s that reversed a centuries-old ban on abortion. And at about that time, pornography came out of the closet and grew into a multi-billion dollar industry. And as at the same time, binge drinking swept across college campuses in the United States. Christians who opposed these new trends all too often came across as finger-waving spoil sports. Amen? Finger-waving spoil sports. But let's think back to a time when good Christians, amen, they didn't smoke, they didn't drink, good people didn't use drugs, they didn't divorce, they didn't fool around. It's a long time ago. Amen? And into that stale environment, if you will, as people thought, the 60s revolution came in like a gust of fresh air. Amen? They're like, all right, now we get to do things, right? Promising freedom and liberation, and we can do what we want to do. We're free. And many discarded what seemed to be the straitjacket of religious subculture. Amen? But as it turned out, the subculture was right about many of those issues, at least in the terms of their effect on our health. Amen? The sexual revolution fostered the spread of many diseases, the plague of AIDS, and numerous other health problems. Now, secular activists and public health officials are warning of the health dangers associated with unprotected sex. We learned the hard way. Amen? They learned the hard way. Unprotected sex, smoking, binge drinking, drug use, all that stuff. The negative effects it has on our health today. Amen? We have had to learn against our instincts that what seems attractive and alluring may in fact prove destructive to our bodies and to our lives. We need outside help to determine what's really good for us, right? When we're in this flesh, we need outside help. Amen? And that outside our flesh help has been available to us for 2,000 plus years. Amen? And that's in the Word of God. Amen? In the Word of God. Every answer is in the Word of God. And so to judge or not to judge in the church should not be a question, okay? Because God's Word has been the judge all along. God's Word has always been the judge. Amen? Today in the church, we see a lot of sin, not only in the world, not only in the world, but in the church. I'm sorry. Today we see much sin, not only in the world, but in the church as well. Amen? Even in the church. I guess it's true what they say. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Amen? Because just like it back in our text of today, back in ancient times, there's still sin in the churches today. Amen? Human nature or the flesh has always been and will always need some guidance. We need guidance in this flesh, amen? And that guidance today for us as believers is the Holy Spirit of God. That's our guidance, amen? That's our guidance. Verse number one says, Paul said, it's actually reported, and he's saying this like he can't believe it, okay? It's actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you, and a kind that even pagans do not tolerate. A man is sleeping with his father's wife. Yeah, he's talking to the church, amen? And Paul's saying, I know you're in a city, Corinth, that's filled with Gentiles, but I left you in charge of God's church, he says. I left you in charge of God's church, and you have allowed sexual immorality to come into your church body, amen? To live in the church body. Now, in the original text, or the Greek language, sexual immorality was one word, and that word was porneia. And of course, we know that's where we get our word pornography. Amen? Porneia. And in the ancient world, that name originally meant to go see prostitutes, right? Because they had prostitutes in all of these different religions and faiths, and they had the shrine prostitutes. Amen? But its meaning would even go on to mean any kind of sexual relations outside of marriage. Okay? Including, of course, homosexual conduct. Amen? And if you read through the New Testament, in a lot of Paul's letters, you're going to find him calling sexual immorality a sin. Because that's what it is, right? That's what it is. That's what it was. It was a sin. And it was on every list of sins in the early church. When they started the church, it was on their list of sins. But because of the Greek culture, amen, that was influencing them, that included many sexual sins in their culture, amen, they were going to try to normalize it at every turn. This sounds familiar, right? It sounds like today, amen, trying to normalize all kinds of things. But sexual immorality is one of them, amen? And in verse 1, he's going to get specific with the type of sexual sin, saying that even the pagans, even the non-believers wouldn't tolerate it, right? Wouldn't tolerate what they were doing in the church. Unbelievable. Apparently, someone was having an ongoing sexual relationship with his stepmother, right? And that's the reference to his father's wife. If it would have said his mom, if it was, they said his father's wife, so they were thinking that he meant the stepmom, amen? So there's this individual, he's a man that's a part of the church, he's in the church, amen? And he said that he was a professing Christian, okay? So he says he's a Christian. He's part of the church. He attends services. He maybe even goes to meetings. But the problem is he's married to his father's wife. Amen? He's living with his father's wife. Amen? This would have been his stepmother, because they don't call him his mother, right? But we also have to assume that his father was deceased, right? Or very upset, one or the other. Amen? Right? Pray for him. That's right. And we have to assume that the stepmother was probably a non-believer as well, okay? So Paul was saying the problem is you have a man in your congregation that's living with his stepmother, and you as a church, you guys don't have a problem with it. You're not saying anything about it. You're just like making it like you're normalizing it, like it's no big deal. Now, unfortunately, something like this happening today in the church would be much more believable. Amen? Unfortunately, right? But back then, it was a great cause for concern, all right? Paul was like, couldn't believe it, amen? And don't get me wrong, it should still be a great concern today, and it is, okay? It is. But in verse 1, we're going to see him mention that even pagans wouldn't tolerate this abomination. We're going to call it an abomination from here going forward, amen? An abomination. But the Christians, whom Paul himself had established, they were accepting the sin. All right? That's what this is about. They're accepting the sin, or at least they're ignoring it, right? To ignore it is pretty much accepting it as well when you're talking about the house of God. Amen? Or the body of Christ. Today, there are many different churches with many different denominations, right? We all know that, amen? And many of them are going to non-denominational because of issues within their denominations, amen? But there's still only one body of Christ, right? Still only one body of Christ. And if a church is entertaining or even ignoring this type of sin that the Lord calls an abomination, right? Then they're not a church of Christ. They're not. They may claim to be. But if they're allowing this in the church, they're not a church of Christ. They're a false religion that's in danger of dragging other believers or people that are believing what they say to hell. Amen? Or what they allow to happen in their church. Right? There's no gray area, amen, in sin, okay? We have to admit it and we have to repent from it. In fact, in Paul's day, even the pagans would say that a man that had relations with the stepmother was committing an incredible crime. Even the pagans, even the non-believers are like, no, we cannot have that. Amen? It was unheard of in their culture too, okay? And of course, the Old Testament scriptures that they read from every week in the synagogue had spoken against it too. And I got a couple of examples for you guys. Amen? Next one. Leviticus 18:8. This is in their Bibles, okay? Do not have sexual relations with your father's wife. Pretty specific, right? That would dishonor your father. Okay, next one. Deuteronomy 27:20. Cursed is anyone who sleeps with his father's wife, for he dishonors his father's bed. Amen? There it is. They had it in their word that they read every time they were in synagogue. Amen? Now, who in the Bible, this is a quiz, okay? Let's see who gets this one. Who in the Bible was famous for defiling his father's bed, just like it says right there? Anybody? Anybody remember? Reuben, okay? Reuben, Jacob's son Reuben, okay? And he would lose his firstborn son's rights over doing that to his father when he was passing away. Amen? So they knew it. They knew it was an abomination, but still they allowed it. And that's the problem. Amen? When somebody knows it's a sin and they still allow it in the church. Okay? The second verse says, and he goes on, he says, and you are proud. Shouldn't you have rather gone into mourning and have put out of your fellowship the man who's been doing this? Shouldn't you have excommunicated him out of the church, basically? You know, Paul wasn't surprised that someone in the church had fallen into sin. It happens. Amen? It happens all the time. Unfortunately, it happens, but the flesh and the devil are relentless. Amen? The devil's not going to give up on believers. Amen? He's already got the non-believers. Amen? He's not going to give up on us. He will be relentless. But Paul was surprised that they were proud and they were allowing this to creep into the church without saying anything. Just let it go. I don't want to have to deal with it right now. Amen? In fact, as leaders and servants in God's church, we must be aware and we must hold people accountable for their sinful actions within the body of the church. And we do. Right? We have to. Amen? We can't allow it to go on in the church, especially when they occur in the house of God. Right? Paul would even say at the end of verse 2 that they should have mourned and they should have put this man out of the fellowship. They should have mourned about it. Amen? Paul had been dealing with many things in the church, but now he's having to focus on the moral things of issue in the church. This is his new venture, amen? Because there's going to come a time when all churches have to and should deal with immorality in the church, right? It's going to happen, amen? And so what is Paul's solution? He says, put the sinner out of the fellowship, right? The Corinthian Christians, they weren't doing what he said, okay? How could these Christians just let sin continue to fester in the body of Christ? How could they do that? Amen? As a pastor, I have to deal with a lot of sin in many different ways. Amen? Even within our little church sometimes, okay? But that is just the sin that we know about that we have to deal with, right? What about the sins that we don't know about? Amen? I'm sure there's a lot of things going on in the lives of people in church that nobody knows about. Amen? But as a church, we're only held accountable for the things we know about. Amen? That's what we're held accountable for, okay? But if it's a secret sin, okay, then it's a secret only the sinner maybe a victim and God know about. But God knows. Amen? God knows. But a much bigger problem spiritually is that when the church knows and they do nothing about it. That's the problem, right? If the church knows and they do nothing about it, they just ignore it or keep it a secret. Sometimes they try to keep it a secret, right? Because instead of addressing the problem, they're trying to hide it. Forgetting all the while that who sees everything? God, right? So if you're in the church, you can't hide anything from God. Amen? People can't hide anything from God anyways, but we should know that, right? And because all we know, all the darkness is going to be brought into the light at some point. Amen? At some point. So they're in this sinful city, okay, that didn't really have much of a problem with people's sexual sin, okay? They had a lot of sexual sin within Corinth, okay? But they were avoiding the truth of God's Word. God's Word that was in their Bibles that we just read. Amen? And as Christians, they were as bad, if not worse, than their Gentile neighbors were. Right? That was unheard of, okay? But their biggest problem, and here's the biggest problem, okay? Not just what they were doing or allowing, but the tolerance. The tolerance, okay? They had a notorious sinner in the church. Everybody knew it, but yet they allowed it to happen. Why? They did it in the name of love. Because they loved the person. They were going to allow him to sin. Amen? They were the first of the all-inclusive woke church body in the history of Christ. Amen? In the history of Christians, okay? They were proud of the fact that they had allowed sinners to infiltrate the church. Okay? They're proud of it, okay? We're going to keep using the word proud too, okay? Saying we love everyone. So do we. We love all people to Christ. Amen? They were saying we love everyone, but in reality, in their church at the time, the opposite was true. Amen? Instead of glorying, they should have been grieving the fact that this man was living in sin. Okay? They should have been grieving. True love is found in the truth, not in equality. Amen? True love is found in the truth. Because here it is. I want to say this twice, okay? If you really love someone, then you won't allow them to keep sinning against God without speaking to them about their problem. Amen? If you really love someone, you won't allow them to keep sinning against God without speaking to them about their problem. Don't love your friends and your family to hell. Let them know. Tell them they need to repent. Amen? A sin is a sin. And that's what it's about, repentance, okay? It's everybody's going to sin, okay? It's about repentance. If you're willfully sinning and you're not repentative over it, that's the problem. If you think it's okay, that's the problem. Amen? It goes on in verse 3, he says, "For my part, even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit. As one who is present with you in this way, I have already passed judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus on the one who has been doing this." So when you're assembled and I am with you in spirit and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. That's the key, right? So that his spirit may be saved. It's about eternal life. Amen? We're only here for a minute. We're talking about eternal life, amen? And so Paul starts out by saying, even though I can't be there physically with you, I'm with you in the Spirit of the Lord. No weird out-of-body transformation stuff. He's just telling them that his love towards them in a letter was influenced by the Spirit of God. Everything he's writing was influenced by the Spirit of God. And he says, I have already passed judgment on this man, and so should you. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen? And in the name of love, right? In the name of love. Because remember, condoning sin can love somebody to hell. It's no joke, amen? Condoning someone's sin can love them to hell. But we'll get back to that in a minute. And then in verse 4, he says, when you assemble as a church, I am with you in spirit and in the power of our Lord Jesus. But you as a church, you got to decide whether or not you're going to confront this man and turn him over to Satan. And I'll tell you what they mean by turning him over to Satan, okay? you have to make that free will decision to do what's right in the eyes of God. Right? God sees everything. Amen? Even though Paul had the authority, the church and the church's council was going to have to make the right choice. Paul was going to leave it to them to make the right choice. But would they? Would they make it? To judge or not to judge, right? What was the right decision in God's eyes? That's the question, right? What's the right decision in God's eyes? Paul says in verse 5, hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And so the proper term for this is excommunication from the church. Amen? And some people excommunicate themselves. Amen? Putting someone out of the fellowship of the church while treating them not as an enemy. Amen? You don't do that because you're their enemy. You do that because you're their brother or sister in Christ. Because if they're already on the path to destruction, it's our duty to pray for them and to try to set them on the path of repentance and righteousness. Amen? It says here that so that the Spirit may be, His Spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord. That's our concern about His Spirit. Amen? Not about His feelings, okay? It's okay to hurt somebody's feelings today by speaking the truth to them, so long as there's a chance that they'll no longer be living in sin. Yeah. Amen? It's okay to hurt somebody's feelings if you're going to try to set them on the path of repentance. Amen? We need people living truly for Christ. It's an act of love. That's what we're doing. This is an act of love. And so handing them over to Satan is actually putting them out of the church for their own good. Right? It's a wake-up call. Amen? It's a wake-up call. I can't be in the body of Christ? They got to make a decision at that point. Amen? Am I going to change my life or am I going to stay out of the body of Christ? Amen? They were to be put back in the devil's domain or in the world. Okay? So they would hopefully reset and make the right decisions going forward. Decisions that will determine their salvation for eternity. Next slide. This is a sketchy Christian, okay? Sketchy Christian, they call him. All right? He says, I just want to hop to a church where they're going to serve me. Right? That's all I need. Today, many people leave churches at the drop of a hat. Right? They'll leave at the... You got a problem with leadership? Move on. Got a problem with the congregation? Oh, let's just move on. Find another church. Amen? For some, it doesn't bother them at all. They just keep moving on. Amen? Status quo. Amen? They just keep moving. But you see, if it's yourself you're running from, amen, you're never going to be satisfied no matter where you go. Right? So ask yourself, am I running from myself? Amen? Because you'll never be satisfied. If you're looking for peace in that, you will never find it. There are no perfect churches out there. Amen? Just imperfect people and a perfect God. Right? And you need to be the best you can be in your personal relationship. Okay? Amen? The church doesn't dictate your personal relationship. That's up to you. To give this man over to Satan was what he deserved. Amen? But at the same time, it was what he would need for him to repent. Okay? It's what he would need. Because by suffering for the consequences of his sin, the sin of his flesh would be destroyed. Amen? This flesh, it's going to be destroyed anyways. Amen? As long as we're in this flesh, we are in a battle. We're all in a battle. Amen? We're all in a battle, but as long as we got the Holy Spirit in us, we will win that battle. Amen? We will win it. So do we fight back? Does the church fight back, right? I hope so, because our flesh, it says in the Bible, needs to be crucified daily. Our flesh must be crucified daily, but the church, it needs to be cleansed as well. Amen? This needs to be a safe place for all of us with good influence. And so Paul calls out this man for being to be handed over to Satan, put out of the church and into the world that we call the devil's domain, right? Temporarily, anyways. Amen? And only because God allows it. Amen? He's called the prince of the air, right? Or the prince of this world. Just temporary. This was done, though, to remove the spiritual, to excommunicate this man would be done to remove the spiritual protection and comfort that we can only receive by living in God's will. Right? It has to hurt, amen, so that we can realize we're on the wrong path. It was not about hurting him, though. It was about separating him from the church. Because the church can't take away your salvation. Amen? It can't give it to you and it can't take it away. Only you can do that. Amen? You have to make that decision. That's your free will. Amen? Remember, it's a personal relationship and your job is to nurture it wherever you are. Home, on the street, in church, wherever you're at, it's still your job to nurture that relationship. This was about a wake-up call for a lost sinner to come back to the fold at some point, hopefully. Amen? To come back. But it was also about protecting the church, okay, from a bad influence. We got to protect the flock, not just me, all of us, amen, from a bad influence. And if any of the congregation does not agree with the situation, remember, you must trust the leadership of your church to make the right call, right? You got to trust your leaders to make the right call. And if you are to see these people again that have been excommunicated or lovingly released, we say sometimes, right? You are not to greet them as members of the church family anymore. In fact, you should not hate them, but pray for them. Amen? Pray for them, okay? Pray for them because the church may not have disclosed the whole story to you, right? So don't make judgments. Amen? You might not know the whole story. Just pray for them. Pray for them that they mend their relationship with God. Amen? Because if sin is not cleansed from the flock and from the church, it'll spread like wildfire and Satan will exploit it to the fullest. He'll exploit all of us. Amen? He'll use it against us. Verse 6, he goes on, he says, your boasting is not good either. Or bragging or boasting, right? Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? Paul was saying, this isn't a good look for the church. He has to go. It's not a good look, amen? The Corinthian Christians were proud and they were pleased to be ignoring the ungodly sin of this man. Just like some churches today, they were being tolerant. They were being tolerant, open-minded, all-inclusive, because they thought that that meant showing love to others. Amen? That's showing love, to be all-inclusive, right? But the opposite is really true. Sort of like letting our kids do whatever they want because we love them, right? We don't let our kids do whatever we want because we love them. Try that out and let me know what happens, okay? The church in Corinth is about to find out as well, okay? You see, Paul was much more concerned about the sin that had infiltrated the church than the sin of this one man, right? It was about the body of Christ because, like he said, a little yeast, right, leavens the whole batch. Paul knew that the sin of this one man could corrupt the whole church. And that's what can happen. Amen? The sin of one person can corrupt your whole church if we allow it. He goes on, verse 7, he says, get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He says, clear out the old yeast that contains leaven. Get rid of it all and be the new unleavened batch of Christians that you were called to be. Right? That's what we're called to be. Amen? And don't let the age-old influence of the world change you. Right? Because the Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us. Amen? It's already a done deal. Here's some similarities between the Old Testament and the New Testament that he's speaking of. The Passover. They mentioned the Passover, right? It's a marvelous picture of the work of Jesus on the cross. Right? The Passover. Okay? The blood on the doorframe, the blood on the cross. Amen? And following the Passover, it says the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? Where all the yeast was to be taken out of the house. And that's an example, amen, of Jesus doing a saving work in your life by taking the yeast of sin out of your life. Amen? By taking it out and allowing the Holy Spirit to reside in the temple of God. Okay? And then he says in verse 8, let's keep the festival, not with old leavened bread of wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of truth. Verse 9, he says, I wrote to you in my letter, former letter, not to associate. He had already told them, don't associate with sexually immoral people. Right? They had already been warned. You see, Paul had told them in this earlier letter to not associate with them. And so, what did they do? Well, like most children that are told not to do something, they went ahead and did it anyways. Right? That's why he's writing them again. Amen? Verse 10, he says, not at all meaning the people of this world, okay, talking about who not to associate with, okay? He wasn't talking about, he says, the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters in the world. In that case, you'd have to leave the world, right? We can't get away from those people, right? Unless we're going to go live in a cabin in the woods somewhere, right? If we're going to be in society, we got to live within these people. But Paul wasn't talking about the non-believers of Corinth, amen, or even the world. He expected the pagans to be sinful, right? We expect non-believers to be sinful, right? He said to not associate with them completely. He said if you did to do that, you'd have to leave the world. You'd have to get up, pack up, and leave the world, amen? It'd be impossible to avoid that kind of sin in the world. Paul was talking about the church, amen? He was talking about the church. He didn't want to see sin in the church. So he goes on, verse 11, he says, but now I'm writing to you that you must not associate with anyone, here it is, who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, a slanderer, a drunkard, a swindler. Don't even eat with them people, he says. Right? Don't even eat with them. What business, he says, is it of mine to judge those outside of the church? Are you not to judge those inside the church? God will judge those on the outside, he said. Expel this wicked person from among you. Paul said, don't even eat with these people. Don't even eat with them because, and that just means don't entertain them. Amen? Don't entertain them at meals put on by the church. Okay, we know about meals put on by the church, right? Maybe accepting them because they brought dessert, right? Or because they showed up early to cook. Right? Amen? He was saying, you shouldn't even be letting that person attend the meal or the get-together. Amen? Or he could have just meant, don't have a close relationship with that person. Okay? Because having a meal with someone at that time was something that was very personal to do with friends. Right? It was a big something, but I mean, it's the same for us here, right? Here's a picture. All right? There's that good-looking guy on the right there. I don't know who that is. Today we see a meal. Amen. I love this picture too. That's the only time we ever did that. Doesn't that look amazing? Right? Renette, you're looking pretty good down there at the end of the table too. She's not here, huh? Oh, amen. You look good too, Everett. All right. But today we don't see a meal as a close personal relationship, okay, for the most part. I mean, we got meals here for everybody and everything, right, at the church. It's a great way to attract people to services and to introduce people to the church as well, amen? We call it breaking bread, right? Breaking bread, amen? But in this ancient world, if you made a great meal, it was a special event, okay? It was a special event to enjoy others' company, okay? It was a big deal. Paul was saying, you should not be enjoying the company of a willful sinner by eating with them, especially one that's calling himself a brother in Christ, yet condones sin in his daily life, right? That, my friends, he says, is a dangerous relationship that's going to end up bringing you and the church grief, pain, and eventually loss, right? That's what's going to happen, amen? And in verse 13, lastly, he says, besides, who am I to judge those that are outside of the church? Who are we to judge those outside of the church? God's going to handle that task all on his own. God will judge them. Amen? God will judge them. Let's worry about the people inside the body of Christ. Amen? I just have to protect my flock, he says, and the church that we gather in. Right? That's all we got to do. And so to judge those inside the church and to not judge those outside the church, that's pretty much the lesson today. Amen? Just be aware, be careful, protect the flock. Amen? We can all do that. Let's do our best to please Paul, who's watching us too. Amen? All the saints that have gone before us, and of course, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because that's who we want to please the most. Amen? Giving all the glory to God and living at peace with the world inside and outside of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this reminder to protect your flock, to protect our flock, to be respectful in the church, to watch out for those that try to infiltrate with sin in the church, to give you all the glory, Father God, for every opportunity you give us to do our part. Father God, give us the discernment and the wisdom to make the right choices, to say the right words, and may everything that we ever do give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.